Okay, so we are continuing with the armor series. It's so interesting that on Friday we were talking about depression in the art series. And normally people who are depressed are people who have no hope for the future, who like feel like things are bad, like they'll always be bad, like can I just die now? And what essentially that says is that this person doesn't have faith. They don't believe that things will get better. They don't believe that things will improve and they stay there. But fortunately for us, we can take up the shield of faith, which is part of the armor of the Lord. Last week we spoke about the shoes of the gospel. And then this week we are talking about the shield of faith. So what's interesting about the shield of faith is that of everything in the armor of the Lord, we have been wearing, right? We're putting on shoes, putting on the belts, our breastplate, blah, blah, blah. But with faith, we have to take it up. So the shield is actually that thing that you hold that blocks off anything that comes over. So if your shield is lying down, it's not taken up and it's not put in the right position. So you can't just pose with your shield and like, ooh, huh? Like you have to actually take it up. So the scripture that we're going to look at comes from Ephesians 6, right? Where it says that, I think the beginning of it, it highlights that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against rulers and principalities and the dark forces of this world. So you need to put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So sometimes we see people do bad stuff, or like they gossip, like they are just horrible people, but we know that everything that God has made is good, and it is beautiful. So it means it's actually the principalities that have overtaken the person's mind that are now acting themselves out. Sometimes we don't want to do bad stuff, but we just find ourselves doing it. Like you just gossip and you're like, oh, I don't know why I do it, but I don't want to do it. It's actually principalities, and that's why we need the gospel of Jesus Christ to help us and renew our minds and make us fresh. So before we start, can we just quickly pray and ask the Lord? Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation, my Lord. And we thank you that, Lord, it is by faith that we are saved. It is by faith that, Lord, we know that you exist, my God. It is by faith, my Lord, that you are transforming our lives. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, the word today falls on fertile ground, my God, that, Lord, we are not the same after this message, Lord. And may we just get it, Lord. We thank you for your presence in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we go into this question, of what do we think the shield of faith is and how it will help us in spiritual warfare. I just want to read Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God." Like, God, we've never seen God. Has anyone seen God? But how do we believe in him? How do we believe in Jesus? It is through faith, and faith is actually a gift from God. So with that, can we just all maybe chat for a few minutes on what do you think the shield of faith is and how does it help us in spiritual warfare? Okay, cool. Before I dive into understanding what the shield of faith is, so faith is basically being sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see. And I like making this example about God, that we don't see him, but we are certain and we are sure of him. And I just want to just share a little story, right, that actually just helps us to understand how faith works. So there was this farmer. This farmer had one horse, né? And one day the horse decided to run away. When the horse ran away, the people in the village were like, "Oh, shame, man, poor you, your horse ran off. What are you going to do now? Oh, such bad luck." And this guy is like, "Well, good or bad luck, I don't know. It's only God who knows. My life is in his hands, so it's fine." And then like a week later, the horse comes back with 15 other wild horses. So everyone was like, wow, such good fortune. Like, your horse came back with a lot of horses. And this man is like, ah, good or bad, it's only God knows what's best for me. And now they're happy they have these horses. Now they're trying to train them to do the things that they want them to do, because now wild horses just do random things. So his son was busy training the horses. One of the horses actually kicked him, and he broke his leg. And people were like, oh, shame, such misfortune. These horses are now destroying your kids. Oh, such bad luck. Again, because this man knows where he stands with God, he knows that God is good. He's like, no, it's okay. Good or bad, still God who knows, you know? And then like 2 days later, the army general came into the village looking for young men to go into war. They were going to go into war. And they took all the young men. Who could potentially die. Like, warfare is like real. And his son was saved because he had a broken leg. You can't go and fight with a broken leg. And people again kept on saying that, you're so fortunate that your son now is not going to go into war and our kids might potentially die. So what this farmer was actually displaying was just a firmness and a strong belief that God is good and God is who he says he is. That's why when things were happening, he wasn't moved either to the left or the right. Because, I mean, this poor guy would have been stressed. Hey, like, listening to people, like, he would probably have lost weight or whatever. But he chose not to. And it actually just takes us to that scripture in James 1, verse 6. Which says that, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. It goes on to say that that man is a double-minded man and should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So this man was standing firm in one point. He wasn't double-minded. And that's what faith does. Faith actually protects us from the fiery darts of the enemy. And what are those fiery darts? One of them, it just creates hopelessness. So if there's no hope for the future, you just remain in the dark. And one of the things that it does, it paints God as a liar. So God says that I will be with you, I will protect you, and then once you start doubting that actually am I really safe, then it means God might be lying. If he can't do what he promised that he will do, then it means he's a liar. And it also tries to get you to carry out your own mission in your own strength. Imagine if the farmer decided that, okay, I'm going to leave everything and run after this one horse. The horse would have came back and would not find him in the house and they would all be gone. So when we are doubtful and not have faith, actually we try and do things in our own strength. When God says that I will carry you, that I will honor you and I will do abundantly, exceedingly what you can think or ask. And if you think that actually God is not sure, like he does not know what is awesome, and I will decide and I will do things in my own strength. And that's when the enemy just tries and fires his dart for us to think that we can do things in our own strength, and we actually can't. Also the enemy tries to make you believe that you've made so many mistakes that God can't use you, where you just feel like you're beyond redemption, that things won't ever be right. And the word of God does say that when we come to him, he's faithful enough to hear us and forgive us and wash us afresh. I mean, that's God's truth, and God never lies. So when we take up the shield of faith, we're actually believing and trusting God that he is who he says he is, and he will do that in our lives. So how do we use the shield of faith, right? First of all, you need to take up your shield. You need to take up your shield. If your shield is lying down, it will not help you. It'll be in the pictures somewhere, but it will not help you. And one of the biggest ways of taking up the shield of faith is really just truly believing what God says. And I really love this scripture that says, for we know that all things work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That no matter what happens, like God is going to make it for good, because that's what his word says. Like, that's what he promised. And he has shown us in so many examples. I remember when we were doing the David series, like David killed, David cheated, like David did all these things, but God still used him in such a great way, because God says that everyone who's been called according to his purpose, he will make sure that things work out for the good. And before we move on to the questions, I'm just going to share a little story. Ne? Maybe I'll give you a preview of the questions, especially for question one, to say, have you ever had something bad happen to you that turned out to be the best thing ever? So once upon a time, I was also in high school, right? And, okay, I must tell this story in truth, ne? And I was in grade 10. And I'm such a good girl, guys, right? Like, really a good girl. But there were, like, some teachers that I really didn't like and would bunk classes with my friend. And this one day, we had bunk class, and another random friend tried to join us. And she keeps on saying she was just trying to be cool. And I'm like, really? She brought booze to school, and we didn't know. And, yeah, so we got caught out, and because we were all there together, and we got excluded, which was terrible, because I was in boarding school in KZN in Glencore, and we stayed, like, in a rural area about, I think, 120 Ks from school. So my dad would pick us up on Friday and then take us back on Mondays. So my dad was really disappointed. I was also disappointed in myself. And I remember, like, I think in grade 8, I had given my life to the Lord. Like, there was an altar call. I was like, yeah. But then, like, nothing happened. Like, how do you change? Like you don't know, right? There's no one, like, there's no youth that they disciple you and they give you devotions. So I was like, oh, okay. But I had made the decision. I had surrendered my life. So, yeah, fast forward. So we get excluded. It was really unfair. My dad was upset. Then I had to find a new school for grade 11. And then they phoned my dad, like, in Jan. They're like, oh, no, she can come back. She's such a good student, blah, blah, blah. And then my dad was like, oh, no, whatever, you know. And then unfortunately, like, I think 3 months into the year, then my dad passed away. My dad passed away. Like, there was no one to take my other siblings, my other half-sisters to school and back. So they had to now move to another school in the rural area close to us. And also, like, the family started fighting. Like, there was just a whole lot of things that were happening. And imagine you just lost your dad. Things are falling apart. So a lot of my siblings actually got into some sort of depression. And then fast forward, now graduated, got into varsity and working. And people are saying, like, why are you so different to all your siblings? Because it's like, guys are either stuck in depression, some are deep into addiction, some have actually died. And I realized that it was actually that one incident where I got excluded from school that the Lord pulled me out of a potentially bad situation. And at that time, I didn't see it like that. But it was actually God working things for my good and taking this negative situation to work for my good. And only purely because I had chosen him as Lord and Savior. So quickly, have you ever had something bad happen to you? And it turned out to be the best thing ever. I'll give you like a few minutes for that, and then we'll take it to the next question.
Cool. I'm sorry it was pretty short, but I don't want you guys to see all the other violence. But can you imagine if, so when I was watching it for the first time, ne, I thought it's so silly. So they actually say stuff, right? The other one says shield wall, and the guys pull up their shields. And then the guy on the other side says the same thing. I'm like, but this one is not being original. What the other guys are saying, they're also saying. So it means they're going to lose. And it's like, spears. And then they all lift. And then, like, they keep on doing the same thing. I'm like, but why is it mimicking the other team? But then I realized that is the art of warfare. When you go into war, there are rules of war. If the other team dared to run towards the other one without having their shields up, it was just going to be a 10-0 kind of a game. Like, it was just going to be easy to kill them. And also, when you look at riot police, ne? So when they're, like, trying to stop a riot, like, they'd actually have all their shields up in one line, and then they start forging forward towards the people that are rioting. And what that actually taught me and what these guys were doing was that a shield actually gives you courage. So when you know that you are covered, you can actually press on and push forward because you know that whatever's on the other side, it can't get to you because you are covered. And faith is exactly that for us. When we have faith, we are bold to do the things that we would like and hope to do through God obviously protecting us. And what I really like is that God's faithfulness is actually our shield. The fact that God will do everything that he has promised to do, we are protected just by that. You know, and also for us to be able to apply faith, because God knows that we are weak. Like there's a part in scripture that says if anyone lacks faith, I think it's in James, we must ask for it from God who gives it to us in good measure. So God won't be offended that you don't have enough faith. Like if you ask for it, he'll actually be more delighted. So the one way to start using the shield of faith is just to ask for it. So we ask God. And then secondly, we practice it. We need to consciously choose to look at life in a positive perspective. Like you need to choose to pick up your shield daily. If you leave it there, it's not going to work for you. So we need to choose faith and choose hope over everything else that happens. And then lastly, we just need to know God's promises. Like this takes me back to when Jesus was being tested in the wilderness. Like the devil was like, yeah, do this and then I'll do that. And Christ knew that that was just a lie. And instead of Jesus saying that, yo, look, man, I've got you. I'm not Eve. Like, I'm not going to buy your lies. Ha, 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 ha. He actually responded in God's word. For he said, it is written, man shall not live on bread. Like, it is written. So he actually used the word of God to fight against the enemy and what he was saying. Because the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. So it actually breaks through the lies. And we learn about that when we take up the sword of the Spirit. So when we know God's promises, then we are able to take up our shield of faith because we are holding God true to what he has said. And even when we pray, it really helps when you say, Lord, you had promised me this. Because sometimes when I pray and ask God, you know, Lord, and God is not impressed with your English and your words and what you think. He's actually impressed by you sharing his word and you trusting in him fully, you know. And again, let me then just quickly ask this question before we go into our anchor scriptures, because I think for us to know his promises, we really need to stand firm in his word, is that why do we think God is pleased with our faith? So I'm going back to the third question. So why is God pleased by our faith? In Hebrews, it says it's impossible to please God without faith, by the way. Okay, 2 minutes.
Sorry, like really sorry.
Okay, so in the spirit of practicing taking up our shield, we're just going to just do this, okay, 2 anchor scriptures. One I'll read, the other one I would like us to read together, because when we know the truth, it rests in us and we'll be able to remember it. Because you know when you're stressed and things are hectic and things are happening, it's hard to remember the truth unless we have planted it in our hearts. In Psalm 119, I think it says you... I've hidden your truth in my heart so I don't sin against you. So it's important that we actually know the word of God. It helps us to maintain our faith because we know he will do what he has said. So the first one is Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to him who can do exceedingly above what we can think or ask. The farmer did not even think that he'll get 15 more horses. He did not even think that his son would not go into war. But he kept on trusting God, and God can actually do things exceedingly above. Maybe he was praying for 2 horses, but he got 15, right? And then I'd like us to say this one together, Psalms 145, verse 13. The Lord always keeps his promises, and he is gracious in all he does. Can we do it again? The Lord always keeps his promises, and he is gracious in all he does. God is gracious, even when we don't measure up, even when we are inadequate. He acts in grace in all things because even as we are today, he has not given us what our sins deserve, like he has given us Jesus. So we must always remember that God will always do what he has promised to do and that he will extend grace even when you feel like it's not enough or you feel like you didn't have enough faith, you know, he'll still act graciously because that is who he is. And he delights in us having faith in him because it glorifies him. Like he gets a chance to prove that he's God. He's the God that loves us. He's the awesomest God. And he has proven it and he's going to continue to prove it. So just in closing, I'd like us to close our eyes and just think about what will you be trusting God for this week? Like just try and pin it down to a specific item. And as you really focus on that, just bear in your mind that God will do all he has promised to do, and he does everything graciously, that the Lord is able to do exceedingly above what we can think or ask, that even when that thing does not happen the way we envisioned it, God makes everything work for our good. So just think on that and exercise your faith in trusting God around that as we pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing love, my Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word that is true, Lord, that is anchored, Lord, in truth, oh God, that is anchored in sure promises, Lord, that is anchored in grace and in mercy. Lord, we thank you that, Father, you have given us the gift of faith, my Lord, that, Lord, you have given us the gift of salvation through faith, my God, and that, Lord, faith is a gift from you, Lord, that, Lord, no one should boast, but, Lord, it is through your grace, my God, that you have loved us enough to give us the ability to believe in you, my Lord, and to stand firm. Lord, today we take our hearts to you, Lord. We pray like every promise that you have made is going to be true in our lives, Lord. And the things that we are trusting you for this week, Lord, we hand them over to you. For, Lord, you are God and we are not. And, Lord, we trust you that, Lord, you will make every situation to work for our good. Lord, I pray that, Lord, where we lack faith, that, Lord, you help us to increase it, my God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you give us the courage to forge forward, my Lord. That, Lord, you remind us to take up our shield of faith, my God, to know that, Lord, your faithfulness is our shield. Just because you are faithful, we are actually very protected, my God. And Lord, you are not man that you should lie, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your sure promises. We thank you, Lord, for our lives. We thank you, Lord, for our families. Lord, I pray even for our parents that, Lord, they are able to exercise the faith, my Lord. I pray, Lord, for boldness for us to speak your truth in love. And Lord, I just thank you that, Lord, as we read your word, it just becomes more and more clearer, my God, and that, Lord, we remember what you have said to us, my God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you and love you, Lord. Amen. Cool. Okay, and then we will get daily devotions. If you have not signed up on the WhatsApp group, I think there's usually a paper there where you can just write down your name and number, and you will get added. Otherwise, you can speak to one of the leaders. They'll take your number. So you can get the daily devotions. What that helps with is just to cement the word, to have those scriptures that help us to pick up our shield of faith. And yeah, and just to walk closely with the Lord. And then next week, we are doing the helmet of salvation. I think that will really, really be awesome. And yeah, I think we are about to conclude our armor series. I think the last bit then will be the sword of the spirit. Yeah, guys, have a great week. I hope you enjoyed the message. And yeah.